Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's get the latest on the crew from insider Adam McAlvey. Brought to you by the law offices of Thomas Morola. Online at morolalaw.net or call 414-327-5800. This is the only station Brewers fans need. Sports Radio 105.7 FM. The Fan.
Chuck and Winkler, we are served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler, and with Freems on his way out to L.A., where Adam McAlvey joins us, Tim Allen sitting in this morning with us. Adam, good morning.
Hello, boys.
Adam, we're a little nervous after game two. I think this is where I am from a sports radio perspective. What we do, as you know, is critique every single move all the time. But what Craig Counsell and the Brewers have done is developed a strategy of taking their starters out, going to their bullpen, and it's worked because the starters have been good even when they come out early, but the bullpen's been great. Last couple of days, maybe it hasn't worked so much. I know what he said, but do they look in hindsight thinking they should have kept Wade Miley in longer, or do they not even give that a second thought? It's on to game three.
No, I really believe they don't give it a second thought and it's on to game three, because that is the strategy, as you said, that's got them to this point. The starters have been good because they've pitched short. That's the theory, at least. You're going twice through the order. If you think about Wade Miley, he was about to face Turner for the third time. That's when they made that move. That's the magic number. And there's a mountain of data to suggest that third time through is the danger zone. And that's why they made that move. That's why they've been making the moves, and the bullpen has done the job. And, you know, you come in, you say you're nervous. I mean, I think that the Dodgers should make you nervous right now, because in both games they have really come alive in the sixth inning and beyond, and it's been against that bullpen where they've done the damage. The Brewers bullpen hung on in game one. I mean, the Brewers won game one by a run, and the Dodgers played a truly atrocious game, and Justin Turner played, as he said, maybe the worst game of his major league career, and the Brewers got out of there with a win just by one run. So look, this is a very good LA team. I mean, that's the bottom line, is they are they grind at bats as good as any club. They're doing it late against that Brewers bullpen. But, I mean, I think if you're in Craig Counsell and Pat Murphy and Derek Johnson's spot, if you all of a sudden change your entire philosophy of how you're going to navigate these games because you're in this big, you know, bright lights of the National League Championship Series, that's as much a recipe for disaster as anything. So I think they are going to the extent they can, stick with the strategy. The key now is three games in 3 days, and that's something they haven't navigated in the postseason. That does require a little bit different thinking. So you maybe need a little bit more from Chassin. I would say the likelihood of that third time through is a little higher for Chassin. He's your main guy, number one, and just, you know, you're at the front end of this three games in 3 days. So I don't know. We'll see. Game three today's game is going to be the really interesting one. How do they use Josh Hader? Do they use him long and burn him for all three? I don't know the answer. The game is to some extent going to dictate it, but today is a really pivotal game for Milwaukee based on how they are built with that bullpen.
Let me ask you this, Adam, and I'll preface this by saying I would go to Jeremy Jeffress tonight if the situation dictated that. However, and it gets down to the crux of the question here. I understand fully the long-term decision-making that has been done by Counsell and his staff, because that's what has gotten you here. However, at what point does it tip the scale to say, hey, man, this is too short a window here, we're going to have to change something?
Well, look, I mean, I think, again, I think the three games in 3 days is partly that point. I mean, that it you have to think about it a little bit differently in this segment of the series. So I you know, again, I think today's game is the key. If let's say they do go deep with Chassin today, if he gives them a good outing, he had that really bad one here at Dodger Stadium, but then after that's been dynamite, really, in every outing since that terrible game at the start of August. Let's say he goes deep and they're able to get, I don't know, even steal a win, but even just get through a game without burning through that pen. I think we might see bullpen day in game four. I mean, I think we might see Brandon Woodruff, maybe Gio, like they did in game one, short. I think those options are kind of on the table for game four. It's going to be a guy like that. So that, again, like just this game three is going to dictate so much, I think, about the next two, you know, this middle segment of the series. So, I hear what you're saying, and it's hard because it's, you know, Tim, with you, I've used that blackjack analogy a lot. You either hit on 16 or you stay against the face card. You know, the Brewers have hit because that's what mathematically you're supposed to do. You hit on 16 against the face card. And to all of a sudden get to the final round of the blackjack tournament, the biggest blackjack tournament in the world, or second biggest, let's say, and all of a sudden to change that strategy, it doesn't make a lot of sense. And I think that's why they've stuck with it so far in these playoffs.
One of my favorite storylines, Adam, on this season, and really the last two seasons for me, has been Travis Shaw. Because when I heard him spring training, maybe it was with you, somebody, he talked about, I'm not here to be a platoon guy. And then I asked him about that in their first workout before opening day last year, and I said, I was just surprised that you said that. He goes, well, I'm not here. I don't want to be. And then he wasn't. And then they make these trades. And then he was, but he made it so he wasn't. He hit a home run again off a lefty in game two. But what this has done now is with Jonathan Scope, I mean, he's got one at bat this offseason now, or this playoff run. Now, I say this to you knowing full well he'll come and hit a three-run home run on a pinch hit appearance tonight. But it almost seems like they maybe wasted a spot on him in this series, in these playoffs. I don't know what their plan is with Scope.
I wondered if we were going to see Scope against one of the lefties the first two games for L.A., and he didn't. I'm a little bit surprised as well that he hasn't figured it all in these playoffs, and you wonder whether that's a spot because Perez gives you so much coverage all over the place. Either that's a spot you could use for another pitcher or a spot you could use for, a Keon Broxton in this round who gives you the base running and that the fantastic defense. And he was kind of a late game defensive guy in the division series round. So, yeah, I don't know exactly the thinking on keeping him. That roster requires a lot of strategy. I think they do a lot of thinking about it, even though there was just one change between rounds. I know there was a ton of debate about how they were going to line that up. Scope right now, it doesn't look like a spot that's giving you very much. But again, it's baseball being baseball. I think you nailed it, that the likelihood of him coming out and doing something, or at least being up there in a huge spot in these three games now, is probably pretty high. I think the other guy, just to talk about not used guys, Freddy Peralta hasn't pitched at all. And I think Freddy Peralta is another guy that you kind of circle for these three games in L.A. that if they are going to get through it, they're going to have to use him, I think, at some point to cover some innings. And this is a rookie who is, we've seen him, he's great when he throws strikes and not great when he doesn't. And, you know, how is he going to respond to the NLCS? A really big stage is going to be a big question because I think at some point they're going to need innings from him. And it's going to be important that he comes out and perform.
Yeah, I think he is a safety net too, Adam, that if a game does get away on you where you don't burn some arms, I think it's going to have to be him. Unfortunately, if they're down, maybe falling on the sword there. Let me ask you this, Adam, through this all, the stretch and, You've been with them the whole time, the celebrations in St. Louis, Chicago, and Denver. And have you noticed, and I'm not asking you to speak out of school at all, I'm genuinely curious about this, the emotion that I saw from Craig Council on the positive side was really amazing. I enjoyed that a lot, and I'm a big Craig Council fan, but have you noticed any difference in not only Craig Council, but Murph and DJ and Darnell at all through all of this?
You know, I haven't because I'm not down there. You know, you guys see more than I do because you're getting those close-up, high-definition shots on television. I think the fans are getting a much better look at what it's like in the dugout than maybe we are. I know that, you know, that these wins mean a lot. These wins, Craig Council used the word precious a lot when he talks about winning baseball games down the stretch when the games really, really count. And, you know, you kind of, the way they've done it, it's not been riding one or two guys. It's been riding five guys, this idea of getting to 27 out. And I think it's got to be gut-wrenching managing that because you come up with a strategy and you think you map out how you get to that magical 27th out. And then you put the baseball in a human being's hand, and it's up to that human being to do what they're supposed to do on paper. That's, you know, the whole idea about analytics is you're trying to increase your odds. You're trying to play the math. But these are still human beings, and so every now and then, Jeremy Jeffress is going to allow a home run on a splitter, which he'd never done before. I mean, the spreadsheet says that Justin Turner moment isn't supposed to happen. But look, these are human beings playing a game on the field, and sometimes things happen that you don't expect. And I think that's got to be kind of the gut-wrenching part of it for those guys is that, you know, they're kind of playing the odds, and sometimes the odds go against you.
Well, it went for him with Woody's homer. I mean, that off Kershaw, I mean, it goes the other way, too. Dodgers.
Well, that's exactly true. And from the Dodgers' point of view, that's got to be just an absolute gut punch. That ends up being the decisive run in a game where you play an awful game. The Dodgers played a putrid game. Should have lost by 10 runs. They lose by one run, and the one run is a home run by a left-handed hitting relief pitcher, I guess, technically, off the best left-handed pitcher any of us have ever seen over the last number of years. So, you know, past decade or so. So it's true. It's, you know, this is still a game of human beings, and the way the game is played right now with, you know, a lot of people criticize the way the game is played right now in terms of the front offices and coaching staffs treating the players as robots. It's all very robotic. It's all too robotic to a lot of people right now. And every now and then, this game reminds you that these are very much human beings down there throwing baseballs and swinging pieces of wood. And they're going to surprise you from time to time. And there's always going to be that human element in the game that's going to pop up. And I think that's why maybe you see the emotion is when you get through it and things happen the way they're quote-unquote supposed to happen, you feel pretty good about getting a W.
How much time are you spending on the real story that Brent Suter and Stephen Vogt can't be in the dugout anymore?
Yeah, I'm confused by that, sir, to be honest, because it's not very consistent. Because I think there's been players, someone pointed out there's been...
Like, did the Dodgers, they must have complained. Did someone complain?
No. I asked about this, and the answer I was given is you got to be on the 40-man. You know, a lot of these rules of Major League Baseball, you can't look up. They're dictated by sort of these memos back and forth, and they sort of have these rules stashed somewhere, but they're not really out there for you to see. And you ask, and then you kind of get the answer. So I asked an MLB official, and the answer was, you got to be a 40-man roster player. There's this idea floating out there that you can have eight extra guys in the dugout, but then, you know, you ask someone and someone says eight, and someone else says no. There's no exact number, but one of the parameters is 40-man. And when you're on the 60-day DL, like Brent Suter and Stephen Vogt, you're not on the 40-man roster, and that's been, I guess, the reason why. So I don't know. It's a weird.
Well, they're 0-1 without him. That's why I'm asking.
That broke the string. Yeah. That was the cooler.
Right. That broke it. Adam McKelvey from Los Angeles. We look forward to your coverage at Adam McKelvey, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and we will talk to you again soon, bud.
All right. See you guys. I'll greet Chuck with a Dodger dog today.
You might need two or three, but I like the idea.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, Bart, I sent you that photo of him dining at Miller Park. That's a good one for the, I don't know, you can frame that and give it to him for Christmas or something.
And I deleted you out of my phone when you sent me that, so thank you. Yeah, right. Send me more. Send me more Chuck food pictures. I like them.
I will do my best.
Adam McKelvey joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Start your renovation journey with a simple and convenient pre-approval from Great Midwest Bank. Dedicated to providing perfectly personalized home loans to those right here in our communities since 1935. A lot of people, obviously, paying attention to the Brewers. There's a Packer game tonight, too. But we all think, we'll just blow that one over. Why we shouldn't blow over the 49ers coming to Lambeau Field. We'll talk about that next.
Now it's gone. He swings and launches. That's his way back.
Milwaukee stays alive in the playoffs.
Those of us who are fans of all the teams in the state, it's been fun.
And there are more big-time games to cover.
I see the fans bring the energy. You know, it definitely rubs off on us. You know, we try to go out on the field and get it done.
So big, we've even renamed our coverage. This is a Major League Monday on The Fan.
Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. Chuck Freeman on his way to the West Coast. Tim Allen in for Chuck. We go to the West Coast to talk with Joe Salvatore. KCBS covers football in the Bay Area, where take your pick. Neither team's that good right now. The San Francisco 49ers is the team that is coming to Green Bay tonight. Joe joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Joe, thanks for a couple minutes. How you doing?
Good. How you guys doing?
Well, here's what we're doing right now in Wisconsin. We're very invested into the Brewers, okay? Because this has been fun and great, and so. But also, the Packers season is still going on, and tonight the two are in conflict, and we're all thinking, well, we'll just watch the Brewers because even though the Packers have had their struggles, it's the Niners. It's C.J. Beathard. There's a 9-point spread. They should not have a problem. Should they have a problem? I mean, is there any way the Niners come in here, or what would they have to do for the Niners to go back home with a victory tonight?
Well, they'd have to play an almost perfect game to beat almost anybody right now. They have so many injuries right now, especially on the offensive side of the football. Not only do they have a different quarterback with Jimmy Garoppolo out for the year, and C.J. Beathard. They're likely not going to have their starting running back, Matt Breida. He suffered an ankle injury, didn't practice all week. They're going to be missing two other top wide receivers likely, in Pierre Garçon and George Kittle. So everything literally would have to go right for the 49ers to pick up a win today.
That has to be a bummer, though. Some weeks ago, you lose McKinnon. Then a short time after that, your franchise quarterback goes down. And what was the sentiment there? Because expectations, at least from afar and being a football fan, expectations in San Francisco were pretty high. That had to be devastating to the fan base.
Well, it was, but I think as time went on this season, Garoppolo wasn't quite as perfect as he was when he came from New England last year. So I think playoff hopes, based on what they had seen from Garoppolo through the first couple of weeks, were starting to fade, but you still had at least faith that you had what looked like one of the top quarterbacks in the NFL, at least to see every Sunday. And from that perspective, him going down was very devastating to the Niners fan base, for sure.
Joe, how's their defense stack up? Because even with the injuries, we looked at that game against the Cardinals as the game that they should have won. But 28 points to the Cardinals, 29 to the Chargers, 38 to the Chiefs, 27 to the Lions. It feels like the Packers would almost have to go to the wrong end zone not to put up 30 points on these guys.
Yeah, their defense has a lot of problems also. It's a very young defense, with, of course, the exception of Richard Sherman. And, you know, there have been a lot of missed assignments, a lot of just, you know, rookie mistakes, young mistakes. And, you know, they've had their issues stopping people. And I'd be shocked if Aaron Rodgers did not have a big game through the air tonight.
Does C.J. Beathard put fear into anybody? I know in Wisconsin here we're used to primo quarterbacks. And I know Garoppolo, as you stated, was out. But does Beathard provide some sort of stability? I mean, where is his asset?
Well, he's someone that the team knows because he played, I believe, 8 games last year before Jimmy Garoppolo was acquired from New England. He's a kid that's fearless. The Niners' offensive line, we didn't mention that. We were talking about injuries, is beaten up as well. The last two weeks, they're starting 3 offensive linemen, or 3 of the starters, haven't practiced at all. They are expected to play today. So he's basically had no offensive line. And, of course, with Jimmy Garoppolo, the injury that he had where he was trying to get a little bit of extra yardage after already getting a first down, Beathard also will try to do that. And, you know, the Niners coaching staff is just like, go down. Just don't try to get the extra effort. So he is a fearless kid, but, you know, he'll make mistakes. He'll throw in the double coverage. So, like I said, it's going to have to be a near-perfect game with a lot of pressure and the defense stepping up against Aaron Rodgers to have any chance to win tonight.
Kyle Shanahan, the coach there, John Lynch in charge. Obviously, things were looking good with the Garoppolo trade. That injury really will derail the trajectory of a franchise, even with Rodgers here last year. Are there still good feelings around what they're trying to accomplish, or with these injuries, does it expose maybe that the rest of the roster is not so good right now?
I think it's a little bit of both. I think, you know, I think they're getting some benefit of the doubt because of the injuries, particularly to your starting quarterback. You know, when they came in, they signed long-term contracts, 6-year, 7-year deals. So the original press conference they had when they were hired, they just said, look, we're blowing this thing up and we're starting from scratch, and just be patient with us and give us a chance to rebuild this roster through free agency and the draft. And, you know, let's see what happens. And, of course, they started 0-10 last year, acquired Jimmy Garoppolo, ended up coming on strong down the stretch, winning their last 5 games. So then things started to kind of accelerate, if you will, the process of maybe there's a chance at the postseason. They went out and signed Jerick McKinnon from the Vikings, who they felt, if he was given 30 touches a game, could be their running back that they were looking for. Carlos Hyde was not quite the running back that Shanahan wanted in his system. And, of course, McKinnon gets hurt on a non-contact play on the final practice.
That's amazing.
Of the preseason. So from there, it just slowly began to unravel. So I think the injuries are going to play a role in giving him maybe meeting Shanahan and Lynch a little more time, and maybe, you know, things were moving just a little too fast as far as maybe getting towards a playoff spot. This may be more realistic of where they should be in year 2.
Joe Salvatore, Cape CBS, on Twitter at Radio Joe E. We have a guy, his name's Joe, he's up next, executive producer. He goes by Radio Joe Sports. Do you go by Radio Joe? Is that like a thing Joe's in radio do? Or is that just your Twitter?
I think it is. Well, it's actually one of my email handles as well. So I think it's something that when, you know, the internet began and people started getting email addresses and being in radio, it just seemed to flow better as a handle.
So did you nickname yourself like he did also? Because he'll deny that he gave himself the Radio Joe nickname, even though we all know he did.
I guess I did give myself the nickname. I don't use it that much as a nickname. It's more just a handle with different things. But, yeah, when you had to create a username or an email address, it just seemed like the easiest thing to put down.
All right, so it's just a handle, whereas for the guy we know, Like, you basically, his first name's Radio and his last name is...
He was kind enough to jump Joe on the air with us, Bart, and you're hammering.
I had a question about Joe's and Radio. So, you know, I just thought we'd divert there. Joe, we do appreciate
I was just going to say, when I got my Twitter handle, there were already plenty of Radio J-O-E's, so that's why it added.
Radio right. Joe E on Twitter. Appreciate it. Thank you for your time, and we'll talk again soon.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Radio Joe E, not to be confused with our Radio Joe Sports. On Twitter, he joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Start your renovation journey with a simple and convenient pre-approval from Great Midwest Bank, dedicated to providing perfectly personalized home loans to those right here in our community since 1935.
Where are you going to observe the sports night tonight, Bart?
Well, I will tell you, because I have a problem that I'm facing. And ooh, I will tell you about that coming up.
Got it.
Do want to tell you real quick about Perkins. I'll take time to tell you about that at any time. They're getting back to basics at Perkins. When it comes to dining out, sometimes that is what you're after. The hearty breakfast combos, the piled high sandwiches, the juicy 100% Angus beef burgers. They've got a new menu full of your old favorites, starting at just $4.99. If it's a classic, it's at Perkins. Stop by today where it's a Pie Society Monday. You know that by now. After 11 o'clock, when you get an entree, you get a free slice of pie. If you don't want it, if you can't eat it, if you're too full, they will box it up, take it home for you. I've done this plenty of times where I think I've eaten so much, there's no way I'll ever eat this. I eat it in the car. It's gone on the way home. Perkins, all throughout the southeastern Wisconsin area, they've been serving up kindness daily for 60 years. All right, Tim, you want to know where I'm watching the games tonight? Well, I've got a little bit of a dilemma, and I ain't going to be doing what a lot of you guys are doing because we're not in college anymore. More on that next.
Now it's gone. He swings and launches. That's his way back.
Milwaukee stays alive in the playoffs.
Those of us who are fans of all the teams in the state, it's been fun.
And there are more big-time games to cover.
I see the fans bring the energy. You know, it definitely rubs off on us. You know, we try to go out on the field and get it done.
So big, we've even renamed our coverage. This is a Major League Monday on The Fan.
Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakery. He's got about 20 more minutes with you. Gonna savor every single second. You guys can chime in 414-799-1250. Bill Michaels up next.
Big night tonight.
Oh yeah.
I mean, it's just really the worlds are coming together here. Packers Monday Night Football, and that's got to take the back burner.
I'm so stupid. I was watching some of the games last night, Astros Red Sox, and then I realized when I flipped over to watch the football game. Oh, wow. Boston, wow. They've got their baseball team playing and their football team at the same time. That must suck. And then I went to bed and I laid down and I looked at the ceiling. And I thought, this is before I woke up screaming in terror. I thought, oh, tomorrow we have the Packers.
My goodness.
And the Brewers.
That is just huge.
How am I going to watch? Well, I only have one TV in my living room and I'm like the only guy that's true for. All y'all other guys are always tweeting us pictures. You got four TVs in your living room, or you got your man cave with a TV every time that your eyes move, there's a new TV in front of your face.
Right.
I don't have that. I'm not in college anymore.
So you just have the main TV in the living room and then the bedroom, right?
Yeah.
Okay. That's pretty normal, I think. Or are you telling me that, like, I've wondered, do you need multiple TVs in the same room?
I feel like more these days, people have more than one TV in their main living quarters. Yes. Because if not, then where am I getting all these pictures that people send us every time we approach this or every time we talk about it? It's always, hey, just do what I do. I got four TVs in my kitchen.
They're cheap these days. I get that.
Yeah, they are cheap.
Cheaper, for sure.
I bought a new TV in 10 years, and it was a 46-inch, not smart anything. It cost me $1,000.
At that,
now you can get a 65-inch smart TV for like $395.
So you are going to be at home? Are you going to be out the bar? I mean, it's a big decision here for a game like, or for a night like this. It kind of is. for the state of Wisconsin. You wonder, with both teams playing, I always wonder this, on a night game for the Packers, now you got a night game for the Packers in game three of the NLCS, how much beer will be consumed in the state of Wisconsin tonight? And how many people don't go to work tomorrow morning?
Oh, I would think a lot of people are going to already start to develop that in the next few hours here, which you should. That actually is good advice.
Is a sports bar the place to go tonight then? I mean, is that the place? Because then you'd have, at some point, you're going to have to put the sound on one.
Yeah.
You can't put them on both.
No, and then someone will go there for the Packer game and want to hear that and want to watch the Brewers but want the Packers sound.
Right.
Or vice versa. And Tim, maybe I'm the wrong guy to ask because, you know, part of the job is I'm not going to be at a bar tonight. I've got to be soaking in both games because God forbid I miss one play.
Hey, now.
God forbid miss a non-meaningful play either game.
Hey, I'm going to play the referee now instead of the stir guy.
Cody, what are you doing, Cody?
Tonight? I'm DVRing the Packers game, watching the Brewers game. I got one TV.
And then you're going to watch the Packer game after?
No, you know what? I'll probably like fast forward a little bit through the Packer game, a little bit after, but I have to get to bed, man.
See, I thought about doing that, but then I want to know what's going on, obviously, during the Packer game.
That's what Twitter's for.
So I might see, I don't have two TVs in my living room. I may have to bring one in, but I don't have two cable. I only have one cable jack in my living room.
Bart.
So how am I going to get the second TV in my living room? How do all you guys have more than one cable?
You have cable, though, right?
Get a splitter.
I have satellite.
Satellite.
It's called a splitter.
Do you have the app that you can do like on your tablet or computer?
Yeah, but then I'll be 30 seconds behind.
Oh, geez.
Man, you're just making it hard on yourself now.
No.
Like,
no,
that's not a good excuse.
I don't want to be behind.
But you still got to watch every play. You won't miss any plays.
A waste. 414-799-1250.
To me, at a sports bar, there's a lot of sensory overload.
It's too much.
Yeah, it is. And not that I'm opposed to going out and tipping a few. I have no problems with that.
I don't like going to a sports bar to watch games. I don't, because I feel like there's too many distractions.
Yeah.
I want to focus on the game myself. I want to hear the commentators as
no,
well.
No, I'm fine with that. But there's two games. So if there's two games, I almost think going out makes it, you'd think it'd be better because there's TVs everywhere. But I actually think if you're going to try to watch both games, you do that at home because then you're in control.
No, because then people want to talk about it. And I understand that. And certainly you in this situation, Bart, being a sports talk guy, if you go out to the bar and you go with some friends or whatever, they're going to want to talk to you. And it's like, wait a second here. I'm kind of focused on the game here. That's the problem that I run into if I try to do it at a sports bar. First of all, someone 9 times out of 10 is going to want a different game on, a different channel on. You're ordering food. Do you want another one? Once the booze gets flowing, then the distractions are tenfold because now you're talking about wine, women, and song instead of like watching the games. And tonight, you definitely want to be focused on both.
414-799-1250. Let's get out to Jason, South Milwaukee. We're talking a lot of Jeremy Jeffress throughout the show today. Where are you on that, Jason?
Hey, I don't want to see the guy pitch right now, man. He's slumping. I don't care what he did before the postseason. I don't care. What cares is what he's doing now, and he's kind of crap in the bed right now. That's what's going on. I mean, as soon as they put him in, me and a buddy look at each other on Saturday like, oh. I don't feel good about this at all. And
you know, he does. When they put him in the seventh and he got out of that thing, are you talking about his entry into the game in the seventh or his re-entry into the game in the eighth inning?
Well, now I'm confused as far as what happened. I mean, he was there with the two-run shot, wasn't he?
Well, yeah, in the eighth, but he had gotten out of the seventh.
Right. Well, you know, Listen, I don't care what he did in the seventh. He shouldn't have allowed that to happen in the eighth. I just think the bullpen can be pitching a lot better right now, and to blow a 3-0 lead in front of a home crowd is disappointing.
That's
I'm
what hurt.
Watch this team. Well, I'm going to listen. Well, I'm going to see. I got to figure something. I'm going to the game tonight at Lambeau Field, so I need to figure out how to kind of stay glued onto my phone, some sort of a mobile app or something. But
when'd you get those tickets?
months ago, dude. Months ago, it started being pre-planned, staying at Lodge Kohler. I mean, section 694, clubs, warm, toasty.
Oh, man. How much beer will be consumed?
No. I don't drink. I don't drink. But lots of sunflower seeds.
Okay.
Hey, gotcha. Go say hi to Bill. He's there at 6. I don't know when you're getting in the game, but Bill and Nick Collins are going to be at Lodge Kohler from 6 to 7.
Yeah.
I'll check it out, guys. Have a good one.
Yeah, take you too. Jason, South Milwaukee.
Now, we're going to talk about this later on the On Deck show today.
Yeah.
A special two-hour edition On Deck show at 4 o'clock. Yeah. We're going to get to the bottom of this Jeremy Jeffress thing.
It's Chuck and Winkler. That's Tim Allen. He is in for Chuck, who will, I'm presuming, will join you at some point on that On Deck show from L.A.
Yes.
I mean, otherwise, why is he there?
Well, he will join
I'm
us.
I'm sure he'll be on with you.
Yes.
All right, good. And he will be back here tomorrow doing the show from L.A. He took a plane. But if you were going to drive out there, I'd recommend getting behind the wheel of a nice brand new Hyundai. Tim, would you count for me out loud how many baseball puns I give you in the next 60 seconds?
Okay.
You ready for me?
Yeah.
I just want to tell you about my guys over at Hyundai West Allis. It's where I bought my car from, and it's where you should buy yours from. Just like our team, their customers are all winners. Not only do they deliver award-winning customer service, they've got the lowest prices in town and a brand new showroom. Sounds to me like they just won the Triple Crown.
One for sure right there, but it really is four. Because you said delivers. I mean, delivers the pitch.
Yeah, all right. Well, let's say four.
Okay.
The month of October, that's you could count that, yeah, is Customer Appreciation Month. That means even more discounts on sales and service. All of you guys that are customers of Hyundai West Allis, get that MVP treatment.
Six.
All you have to do is go there and mention that you heard me, Bart, talking about you on the radio, talking about you going to see them. Because this is a quick aside from the baseball thing. Sometimes people will like listen to what I'm saying and they'll say, oh yeah, Bart was talking about go to Hyundai West Allis. So I'm going to go there. And he said to make sure you mention him because you get $1,000 off the MSRP and 10% off any service in the service department. So it will, like, people will go there because we heard me talking about it, but then they'll be too shy to say why they're there. Don't be, because you're going to cost yourself $1,000. Go there, say Bart was talking about you on the Fan, and you'll get $1,000 off. All right, back to the game. When it's the bottom of the ninth.
Seven.
And you need that key hit.
Eight.
Hyundai West Allis delivers the game winner every time.
Nine.
All those other stores just strike out looking.
Ten.
Hyundai West Allis, Highway 100 between Lincoln and National. Washington Nationals?
11.
Technically can't say that during this. 10. Visit them in person or on their webpage, HyundaiWestAllis.com. When you go there, make sure you mention me to get your MVP pricing.
We got 11.
11. Chuck and Winkler, Bill Michaels up next.
Now it's Brown. He swings and launches. That's his way back. And that is the ball game.
Milwaukee stays alive in the playoffs.
Those of us who are fans of all the teams in the state, it's been fun.
And there are more big-time games to cover.
I see the fans bring the energy. You know, it definitely rubs off on us. You know, we try to go out on the field and get it done.
So big, we've even renamed our coverage. This is a Major League Monday on The Fan.
Chuck and Winkler were served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries.
Go Brewers.
Yeah, how about it? Hey, if you don't know, big news. Bill Michaels' show today, they've locked down a pretty significant name at 10:35. I believe Tim Allen will be on with the Bill Michaels show.
I'll be on in a bit.
10:35.
We'll talk Jeremy Jeffress.
Looking forward to hearing your thoughts on the Brewers coming up.
Indeed.
In about 30 minutes, he'll also be a part of Tim Will, the On Deck show, which starts about 4 o'clock, two hour On Deck show.
Yeah.
You and Billy, Rami and Steve.
Hear from Council, hear from possibly Jeremy Jeffress, Chuck Freeman in LA. So a lot going on.
Yeah, a lot to go on. And then tonight, the post game shows for both respective to follow. A lot of people tweeting. The Packer game is on local TV tonight if you don't have cable, which is another issue of contention. It's on, I think, channel 12.
Yeah.
So we'll be back tomorrow. We'll probably bug you at some point. I know you got a long day, but maybe we'll bug you later in the week.
for sure.
You've got, hey, I'm going to say Packers win. They do cover because I got a hundy on it with Chuck. I'm going to say they win by at least 10. And then I think I will take the Brewers 6-3.
I was going to say 5-3, and Packers win 38-24.
Tim, hey, that beautiful voice right there, 30 minutes on the Bill Michaels Show. Bill up next. We're back tomorrow at 6 with Chuck from L.A.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.